You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Bears fans, to this episode of Bare Bones. As always, I am Mason West, and as sometimes because of the scheduling, we have Kyrie Thompson. Kyrie, how you doing?
Doing all right. Also, thanks so much for acknowledging a number one fan, Maya. She's just left the room because I don't think she wants to deal with this the entire time, but maybe she'll return. Who knows? Good to be on with you.
Good to be here. And we have of the Bear Blocks fame, editor-in-chief, probably has a Twitch where he breaks down all the film. I love what I see when he does it on YouTube. Robert Schmitz. Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so stoked to be talking draft with you guys because, I mean, I'm sure even Maya's exhausted of the quarterback conversation. And that's not something we get to totally avoid when we're going through mock drafts. And I get that. But so much better to be talking about it over like something where we can use our voice and explain everything rather than trying to get back and at it between a bunch of text-based characters, right? There's just never enough room to talk through all the nuance on this stuff because everybody keeps making it sound like it's really cut and dry. It's way more nuanced than that and always has been.
Yep. And the fun thing about it is, you know what? I have not been exposing Maya to the quarterback controversy. I've been trying to stay out of it myself. And I feel like it's done wonders for me, but you know what? Here we are. I'm prepared. We're going to talk about it.
Ready.
It is what it is. Let's do it.
And before we get into some of our mocks here, we do have some free agency thoughts that we should probably go over. I mean, we could list all the people that have been signed. Go ahead and look at that. There's a tracker. I'm not going to talk about every single person, but I do think that we should share some individual thoughts that we have. So I'll go first. My original thought was, I was going to say, I wish they got a center. And then the Bears actually did get a center. My original issue with this was, and I want to give credit to the Athletic Football Show, Robert Mays, Nate Tice talks about this, that a lot of teams that drafted centers, you know, maybe later in rounds, fourth, fifth round, and thought that they would be pieces for them, moved to veterans actually recently. So example, Ricky Stromberg, who many loved, I did. He went on IR, had some issues injury-wise and performance. Commanders went and got Baez, I'm going to butcher that last name, from the Cowboys center. Luke Fortner, drafted by the Jags. Jags went and got Mitch Morse. So, you know, they clearly felt, look, we need a stabilizing force in the center for our quarterbacks. It's one of those positions where, yes, you'd like a high ceiling individual, but at the end of the day, sometimes you just need someone who's like stable. And so Bears went and got Coleman Shelton, signed a one-year deal. He started 30 games at center over the past two seasons for the Rams, played over 1,000 snaps at center for the Rams over those in the last year, 400 snaps at center in 2022. By PFF's grading, 17th best center in 2023, right there in the middle. 34 QB pressures allowed, which is not that great. I think it was 7th most, if I recall correctly. But he's familiar with Shane Waldron during their time in LA in 2019-2020. Undrafted free agent out of Washington, 28 years old. Competition to start, but you know, at least you have an adult at center. Like, so that's my thought.
Yes, and to that point, you brought up the pressures allowed. 48.9 grade in pass blocking. Not very good. Not excited about that. However, 72.6 run blocking grade, which is good. So I think that what this means is again, it's sort of like the move to bring in Lucas Patrick, right? A guy who knows the offense, guy who can play center, can teach you the offense, all that stuff, yada, yada, yada. But what it comes down to ultimately is that can't, okay, maybe not that it can't be, but you shouldn't be a thoroughly content with that. We'll see what the Chicago Bears end up feeling.
Well, the good news to me, Kari, not to blow too much sunshine, right? But the Bears have unilaterally seemed to upgrade a lot of their depth positions. And I think this is a big one because we've now gone from having 2 years worth of centers that don't actually start at center in the NFL. They're just starting for Chicago, right? Because Lucas Patrick was a depth guard center that then became the starting center. But he wasn't really the starting center because at some points, Cody Whitehair, a guard that is now playing center, was the starting center. The closest the Bears have gotten to a designated starting center was Dan Feeney, who's a depth piece on every other team that he's played with. So hooray, the Bears signed a center that has held a starting job for 2 years in the NFL and has 30 games played over his last 2 years. Is that the world's biggest accomplishment? Well, not necessarily, until you think about it from the perspective of, I know this sounds like a joke, but it's not. The Bears now go from a 51.5 PFF graded center to a 66 PFF graded center. You don't have to care about the PFF grade. Let me put it to you in numerical terms. Going from really, really bad, borderline not a starter level, to a meh starter is nearly as big an upgrade in performance as going from a meh starter to a really good player. Again, we'd all love it if the Bears had a center that was flat out sick. We'd all love that. And maybe the Bears draft one and he ends up being flat out sick. But even if this guy comes in, and my favorite part about this Kyrie, they get to bump Ryan Bates down to Nate Davis, Tevin Jenkins insurance, where I think he's going to be his best self. So now you've got a starting center. You've got an interior IOL 6 we trust. Shelton is signed on a one-year deal that says fourth-round center to me. So now you add potentially a fourth-round rookie center that could step in the back half of the year and maybe play some decent football. And the Chicago Bears might be piling together a relatively cheap and efficient offensive line with some young tackles that'll really make this whole thing go. But don't let me get too excited. That's just what I see.
Kyrie, do you have a free agency thought that maybe doesn't revolve specifically around center?
The fact that the Chicago Bears felt they needed to go out and get a running back. For one thing, I always find it interesting when people get upset that the Chicago Bears, you know, pay a running back to, you know, come in for depth purposes, or in DeAndre Swift's case, I think that he's going to eat up a large share of the carries. I mean, him and Khalil Herbert will, you know, platoon, and, you know, I still would think that they're going to draft a running back later on, because why not? You basically always should, if you've got the picks, if you've got the availability to do it. And I think that ultimately what the Chicago Bears were missing last year, and what I think that DeAndre Swift will provide, is that he catches the football. Okay. And that was something that they really counted on Roschon Johnson to do. And again, as a rookie, and Roschon Johnson, you know, solid, right? But he's still growing into the role. He's not super, super explosive. I mean, he's fine. He was a rookie fourth round pick who came in, did a solid job. But now what you have is something a little bit more akin to what you had with David Montgomery when he was here, a guy who, you know, I would say is a bit more explosive than David Montgomery was, can also catch the football and be useful on third downs, which, God love Khalil Herbert, he doesn't really do that. He's not a great pass catcher. And then Deontay Foreman could catch the ball on occasion, but his pass blocking wasn't very good. I mean, they were clearly lacking on third down when it came to the running back position, and this will help shore that up. So I saw that honestly as like, yeah, I will absolutely take that.
The only thing I throw onto that is, at first I was like, man, that money seems like a lot for a DeAndre Swift when you have the two running backs you just talked about. But as we saw more deals come out, right, you know, the Josh Jacobs to Green Bay deal, we saw even what, who he replaced Aaron Jones moving over to Minnesota, what he got for that 1 year.
Cannot get rid of that guy.
Seriously, he just can't get rid of the Bears. He's going to haunt the Bears forever.
I don't want to have to play Aaron Jones anymore. Come on.
Please no.
And then the extension that even Mixon got once he got traded to the Texans. The money for DeAndre Swift, all of a sudden you're like, okay, I get it. I'm fine with it. Multiplicity, more weapons, more better. So that's the only thing I would add to it. Robert, any other thoughts on running back? And then what is your free agency thought?
So running back wise, I do feel like in this big, so I don't come from a football background, meaning by default, I have to brandish my nerd card sometimes. And when I'm supposed to say as a football nerd is running backs don't matter, but I can't help but feel like guys last year, especially given that the Bears lost three games by such razor thin margins from a win percentage perspective, I mean, comebacks that simply should not happen. The Bears getting an upgrade at a position where I personally look, I like Roschon Johnson. I think he can become something going forward, but we didn't get the pop from Roschon last year that I think we wanted to see, because the running back room made a lot of sense with Roschon playing a really big and important role and Herbert being able to not get hurt throughout the season. Neither of those things happened. And we had to lean an awful lot on Foreman, like you're talking about, Kyrie. I think Swift helps round out the running back room and give you a lot more juice and some stability and youth at a position where you could really use a lot of that. As far as free agency goes, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe the Bears and Ryan Poles have a very different plan than the way I see it. But it feels to me, Kyrie, and also Mason, of course, that when we look at what Ryan Poles is doing, we see Jalen Johnson's deal clear $7 million in cap space. DeAndre Swift's deal has a low first round cap hit. We look at the 1 year deal from the guy we just signed, whose name suddenly escapes me. We look at the little deals that they've signed, like Everett, like, what is it, the Jonathan Owens, etc. I feel like we're getting served
Simone
all
Biles,
the...
Stand I was gonna say,
they signed Simone Biles. Yeah. Owens was the package.
I feel like we're getting served all of the side dishes and appetizers, and that there's an obvious entree that's being made room for. Like, we're looking at the table. Because Mason, I know you talk about this all the time, that people overreact in some moments, acting like they see the whole picture, even though if you pull the corners out a little bit, maybe there's something that we're not acknowledging. And there is a clear round hole in the cap that something big is supposed to fit into. At least it seems that way to me. And that's even accounting for the rookie draft class. That's accounting for the $10 million that they'd like to take into 2024. It feels like there's a $15 to $25 million spot that something fits into. Is that Josh Sweat? Is that some other trade? Could it have been Arik Armstead? Bro, I don't know. But it feels to me like there is a move coming. I mean, obviously the Bears don't have a receiver that they've signed. They didn't sign DJ Wonnum, meaning that now they're still in the hunt for an edge rusher if one exists. So I don't know. I can't help but look at this free agency period and think there are a lot of people that are going to come to the conclusion that what Poles did was miss on all the big fish, even though we know tackle free agency doesn't typically create any value. We know that edge rushers signed in free agency are typically massively overpaid. We all know better than to think that these huge dollar deals are consistent good things for the teams that sign them. They're fun in March. They're less fun in November, right? So I can't help looking at this and thinking to myself, if we get to September and this was it, or the Bears sign a Yannick Ngakoue type that ends up being one of the worst defensive ends in football, then yeah, absolutely. This free agency period was a little bit of a letdown. But Poles did a lot of damage in the months that weren't just March last year. And absolutely. So I can't help but look at this and think the depth got a lot better. We saw some important moves on the offensive line. We have to know a veteran receiver is coming. You're not going into the draft with Tyler Scott as your wide receiver too. I would just be blown away. So there's almost part of me that wants to talk to the Bears fan that's hyperventilating and say, let's take a step back. I know patience is a word that's gotten used in Chicago way too much over the last decade, but take a breath for a second and let's see what happens here. Because especially with Josh Sweat, you guys look up his mock draftable. He is the Matt Eberflus prototypical weak side defensive end. So I'm not saying that that's definitely something that's going to happen, but Philly needs a place to move him to. And just like we saw in free agency, a lot of other people filled up their edge spots. So where's he going to go? I don't know, but it could easily be Chicago. And I think that if you got somebody like him, everybody's going to go from this free agency period didn't work out at all to, oh no, Pulse did pretty well for himself. Okay. You know what I mean?
And you bring up a valid point. You know, it's going to be week six, week eight, whatever it is. And how many times we look back and say the team that won free agency, like they didn't, they're not winning, right? Or like right. There's a contract that it didn't work out, or someone gets, there's all these different stipulations that end up happening. So it's fun to get wrapped up in it because it's all we have right now until we get to the draft.
Everything's just going to obviously work until Danielle Hunter, I don't know, ruptures his shoulder because he's on the, or because on he's nearing 30. Stuff happens. It's the NFL. Right.
And at the end of the day, there's a reason why all these guys are available for different reasons. I mean, there's a couple weird ones. Christian Wilkins should never have been available. It was just because the Dolphins cap situation is a mess. But most of these guys are available for a reason. Last thing before we get to the mock draft, I have to ask you guys. So, Kyrie, I'm going to shoot this to you first. What do you say to the people who have come to the conclusion that failing to address wide receiver or edge in free agency and Justin Fields not being traded yet means Bears are trading the number one pick and then grabbing both wide receiver and edge in round one and draft a quote unquote young QB to develop in the first few rounds? You have the floor, sir.
That's a lot.
He gave you the whole meal.
So when you talk about drafting a young QB, you mean not at number one. Is that the gist?
In this situation, the individuals who are saying, You didn't address wide receiver, you didn't address edge, and you haven't traded Justin yet. Clearly, you're trading down from number one.
I don't think any of that necessarily is a direct signal to those intentions. I think that if you listen to the broader discussion, and I mean, I know that we kind of float in the same circles and we hear a lot of the same things, that the overwhelming likelihood, you know, remains that, you know, we're still going to see Caleb Williams at number one overall, or I'll have an alternative situation to that. But basically a quarterback that will be taken high in the draft. And then, you know, with the number nine overall pick, you see a wide receiver. Now, obviously, they're going to have an opportunity most likely to get one of those top three receivers, given some of the moves that we've seen where the Titans and Falcons have kind of snapped up wide receivers in the free agent market. Doesn't mean they won't draft receivers, but it's probably not drafted wide receivers. I would think not. Of course, that means that with your remaining picks, assuming you're not going to get much more than a day three pick for Justin Fields, should you trade him, you're not picking up a lot of blue chip talent. So your next pick is going to be, it's going to be a while to get there. So you got to live with that though. That's the thing. And if you trade down from number one, cool, you could do that. But are you necessarily going to pick up a second rounder if you do that? I don't know. It depends on where you're trading down to. You're trading down a couple spots, it's not going to net you that crazy volume. And again, if you trade down from number nine, you're going to be missing out on one of those wide receivers, and you're going to most likely be picking something else. You might be targeting edge or whatever. So you can't have your cake and eat it too necessarily. You could, you know, if you trade number one, but again, we're not operating under that assumption. So from that scenario, you got to sign somebody, don't you?
Robert, your thoughts.
So look, there's a lot of ways to slice this cake. And most of them make the team better, if not all of them, right? If you trade down from number one and you do pick it, let's say that you traded down from number one to number six, the Giants are absolutely salivating. They're willing to offer you number one because Kyrie, you mentioned that you might not get a second. I think you get at least a second if you move back from one to two, and that's just two. You go all the way back. You go back to six.
I'm talking about if you trade from number nine down.
I might have said that wrong.
If you trade down from number nine, you're not going to necessarily get a second. Oh yeah, if you trade down from number one, you're going to have whatever you want.
You get everything. If you traded down from number one to number six, you let the Giants skip the line. I got a text from a Giants guy just the other day, not like Giants org, Giants beat guy, where he was like, Robert, congratulations. That was all he said about Caleb Williams. He's like, I finally got to my quarterback eval. Congrats, right? So you let the Giants skip the line. They give you at least three firsts plus more. It doesn't really matter what it is because I don't actually think it's going to happen. If you did that, there's no denying that the Bears would end up so loaded to the gills with talent that there's a point where I think we all agree that Tyson Bagent is not the franchise quarterback going forward. But you start to build a team.
Blasphemy.
I know. You start to build a team where even Tyson could win 9 games. It's such a talented team that adding anything on top of Tyson Bagent at quarterback could get you 8 to 9 wins and a competitive team for the division because it's just juiced out of its mind on defense. It's got all kinds of talent on offense. But I do personally think that we would end up a little disappointed because I do think the quarterback – so I think that you can trick the wheels out. You can get sweet spinners. You can get the best exhaust pipe in the world. You can work on the best fuel efficiency like within your car that possible. You can add nitrous burners to your car. And if the engine isn't phenomenal or it is even really all that great, which we're going to get there on Justin Fields, just riding the metaphor, the car still won't drive all that fast. Right. And so the decision comes down to what do you think of Justin Fields? And I'm a writer, guys. Like, I can give you my opinion that I think the Bears ought to draft Caleb, but that doesn't mean that I know what's going on in Poles' head because the value play will almost always be trading down. Kyrie, we've talked about this on Bear With Me, the old version of my podcast, a lot, that more often than not, one player is hard to beat three players. Like, comparing any one player just on the value chart to that is difficult because most players aren't Tyreek Hill, but Tyreek Hill is. And the moment you get Tyreek Hill, the Dolphins never look back. So
now, and that's the thing. We knew Tyreek Hill was Tyreek Hill when that stuff happened. You know, when those trades happen, we think Caleb Williams is going to be Caleb Williams,
or he might be not going to be Caleb Williams.
He might be Caleb Williams. And mm-hmm. and I think the interesting thing about this, and I mean, I'm not going to necessarily go all conspiracy theory, but I couldn't not notice the fact that the Commanders picked up another third round pick in the draft in that trade for Sam Howell. I couldn't not notice it. So they have how many picks in the first 100 picks? 6.
We're not going to do that. We got mock drafts to get to. We can't do that. That's another show.
That is another show. Let's do our thing.
All this to say, main thing I'm looking at, Mason, because I want to hear your take on this, if you don't mind.
Sure.
For me, all I want out of this season is for the Bears to commit to a quarterback that they intend to remain their quarterback until the 2027 season. My aim is to get off the roller coaster. I could care less what it is. If you think Jaden Daniels is that dude, draft him at 1. If you think Bo Nix is that dude, draft him at 1. If you think it's Justin Fields, get him extended. I just want to be off the quarterback carousel. What I keep hearing when people say, well, let's trade down, is that they try to bridge the gap between everything by saying, yeah, and then we could draft Bo Nix in the second. And I'm like, that doesn't fix it. Like, why are you spending on the quarterback if you're telling me Fields is worth trading off of 1? I understand where they're coming from, that at the end of the day, trading off of 1 usually comes down to somebody feeling like the quarterback isn't actually that important. Like, look at Brock Purdy. He's bad, and San Fran is still good. Just saying, Kyrie, because I think you've seen it. Purdy can spin the ball. Like, at least the Purdy that we have seen develop, especially Purdy in, the game against the Lions. Yes, I'm aware that he threw that, like, near interception. But you look at a lot of the balls that he threw across the yard, and it's like, okay, that's a sweet dig over the middle. Okay, that's a nice ball to the sideline. Okay, that's a solid ball to your third read over the crosser. It doesn't matter. This isn't a Purdy podcast. I'm not trying to say he's any better than decent, right? Just not 7th overall. Mr. Relevant. Point that I'm making, Mason, is to me, this part where people say, well, let's plan for Fields to potentially fail while also stocking the cupboard, because, hey, then we could just draft a first rounder next year. I'm like, don't plan to fail. Like, pick somebody that you think is going to be good and then ride with it. The plan around Mitch was not the problem. It was the fact that Mitch didn't live up to it. So do that again, where you just hard commit to somebody and you build the best team you possibly can around what that person does well and get a team that can help them with all the things that they don't. I think it can be Caleb. Maybe you think it's Drake. Mm-hmm. Maybe you think it's somebody else. Maybe you think it's Justin. I just want to be off this roller coaster. pick a guy, and let's ride with him.
So do we. I mean, I think it's really as simple as that. I would say that, you kind of mentioned, Brock Purdy kind of going there, and like, maybe they think the quarterback's not bad. Obviously, we have seen a lot of the discussion about Justin Fields' trade market, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to make this quick, Mason, I promise. I would posit that the way that Ryan Poles has apparently valued Justin Fields and hasn't given him away for a bag of chips suggests that he probably thinks Justin Fields isn't as bad as everybody else thinks that he is. Otherwise, Justin Fields would probably still, he would not still be here. But that does not mean that he will still be here in the future. I just think that that's something we have to at least consider, because look, if they thought he was Mac Jones, he'd be gone.
The only thing I'll add to that, because I'm going to keep it as short as I possibly can, I don't think anything that we've seen, lack of wide receiver edge in free agency, Fields not being, I don't think that tells you anything too much right now, to be honest. I mean, there's takes two to tango. The receiver, the edge you're talking about needs to want to come here. You need to not only have the cap space with the Bears have, but you also need to have money to give them the guarantees to beat certain things, right? We saw that last year with McGlinchey. He was originally like, hey, he's going to be a Bear, but then the guarantees were more elsewhere. That all has to come into play. The Bears are not exactly rolling in cash as a general entity. And then when it comes to the whole thought process of drafting, right, I 100% agree you go get your dude, get off the roller coaster, because you want to be on a nice flat plane. The only thing I'd add to that in part in particular is you may not take necessarily your dude at number one if you know you could get him later. Right. If you were like if you're a Drake May guy, I don't want to go down a road, but if you're a Drake May guy, if you're a Jane Daniels guy, and you know the Commanders want to go to one and you want to go to two, and you can kind of thread the needle a little bit, right? You can get some extra capital and get your guy. That's the only instance where I'm saying you're going to go that way. But
totally.
Again, conversation for the thing. Finish it up, Robert, before we move on.
I should have clarified that my take on wanting them to draft him at one is from my, it's not even from a team building perspective. If you like Drake May, Kyrie, you should trade back to two and take whatever Washington will give you and right. Be all stiff upper lipped and then let them take Caleb, etc. I will be told as a fanalist that Drake May was your number one quarterback all along, and I will refuse to believe it until you draft him at one.
Yes.
Like, if they trade back and they draft Bo Nix in the second round or Spencer Rattler, let's use Rattler, he's the best example. Poles is going to stand up there and he's going to say, well, actually, as we went through the scouting process, we really fell in love with Spencer Rattler. And people are going to take that to mean, oh, wow, he thinks Rattler's better than Caleb Williams. And it will be, I think, media terrible. So I want them to irrationally draft their guy at one if they like any of these rookie quarterbacks. That's not going to be the direction they go. But
oh my God, I had a thought. I'm not dropping it into this chat. Let's get on to the mock.
Moving on. So we are doing mock drafts. That is actually the purpose of this episode, even though we're 30 minutes in. It's just that's what happens when you get three football dudes talking. It just happens. But I do want to highlight again for those who have not been here before. So myself and Kyrie, right? I do this show almost every other week. Kyrie does a bunch as well. We cannot pick the same people. So if your favorite person might have been sitting there, but we picked them the previous episode, we can't take them. It just is what it is. And just so Robert's going to be fresh, he can take whoever he wants because he's only doing the one mock draft.
Right.
We got to
be strategic about this. So don't get mad at me for what I'm about to do.
The purpose of this mock draft is to help the hosts of Bare Bones better know the prospects of the 2024 NFL draft. They are sharing this information so you, the follower, don't have to grind tape and scouting reports as you wait patiently for the Chicago Bears to make their selection. This is not meant to be predictive. If your favorite prospect was not selected in this mock draft, check out a previous or future mock as they may be included there. If they are never selected, oh well, get over it. Taking these mocks too seriously will result in headache, nausea, diarrhea of the mouth, cold takes exposed, troll status, tool status, and undying love for a prospect who gets cut before week one.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy.
Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Beautiful. Let's get into it. So, of course, we are going to be taking the role of the front office for the Bears, making our selections. First up, Kyrie did a trade.
Yes, indeed. And you know what? Look, that's not even the whole of what the Bears would ask for and get from the Washington Commanders. I just felt like, you know what? Just for fun, let's go ahead and do that. But this would be a scenario in which the Bears basically run the Commanders' pockets and take the first two rounds of their draft completely. And then you don't got to worry about no second round picks after that. We are good. As a matter of fact, you get the one that you had last year that you traded away and you get a future first to move up one spot. Let's go.
And that's pretty much what it is. Moving on. Robert did not trade away his pick.
No, I didn't.
What did you do?
I'm shocked. I know, tell you.
Hey. I think Caleb's tape really is that good. And now it's so funny because I heard somebody, and I wish I could tell you their name. Their YouTube channel is the QB Room. And they said something that I couldn't think was put any better. They said the college game and the pro game are different games because what does get you drafted is ultimately what will get you killed in the NFL. Like the college game is begging you to be a playmaker and frankly ignore that throw to the flat. Then you get to the NFL and you need to remember that throwing to the flat will win you a game. So I understand all of the incredibly popular ways that people have come at Caleb Williams' game, but I see arm talent. What really speaks to me is his pocket feel, his ability to what he seems to know exactly where rushers are and how they relate to the lineman's block. And you'll see him move left, right, backwards, and forwards very, very naturally as he'll literally help his linemen recover their blocks so that he can sit in the pocket for sometimes what is an ungodly amount of time. I mean, his natural scramble rate is just something we haven't seen. You could check out an article at DBB to see a little bit more about that, but I'm going to finish up this rant. The point is that I think that Caleb really is a quarterback that you can't pass on if you don't hate him. And I'm assuming that Ryan Poles and the Bears don't hate him. I don't know, but he's more of an interview question than he is an on-tape question. Strictly on tape, he's something else.
Yeah, I will just say, I want to remind that Ryan Poles did say blown away. Now, I think that kind of means the whole package. So there is always that possibility. But yeah, I think when you look at the way Caleb Williams plays the game, I mean, it's hard not to get excited about some of the stuff he does. And I mean, I've talked about it, just some of the throws that he makes, his arm moves like independently of the rest of his body. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's like he will be... It's like you practice some of these throws just for fun. Like he'll be running, you know, perpendicular to the sideline, and then he'll just like do one of these, just throw it across his body. I'm like, come on now. That's funny.
And it's funny too, Kyrie, because just to turn a critique into something that I think it's a talent that has gotten him in trouble at the college level. But as he, you know, turns 23, turns 24, gets older, gets better. What? Talking about a prospect getting better, right? Caleb Williams has the ability to have an edge rusher draped at his feet and still flick the ball 45 yards downfield or 30 yards on a line. This did mean he got kind of lazy with his footwork sometimes at USC, and he ended up a little bit inaccurate because he felt some pressure at his feet that is actual pressure. It's not like it's ghost pressure, but that he said, meh, I can get it there. And at the NFL level, I would love for him to roll those dice ever so slightly less. But it's a good trait to see, nevertheless, because you see Geno do this. You see, I'm not going to say Patrick Mahomes. You see all kinds of quarterbacks like Jordan Love, to use another example. I'm really trying to focus on quarterbacks in that like 10 to 8 range, right? Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, when he was good. That ability to throw a 15-yard dig without your feet set is really important at the NFL level, and it's something that Caleb can do. I'd love to see more consistency, wouldn't we all? But as far as all those traits you're looking for in a quarterback that can be something special, I think Caleb shows them. It's just a matter of the refinement process.
A lot, very logical pick there. So I want to, so I'm going to intro this because, as I said earlier, I'm doing like 5 or 6 mocks that I can't.
You're locked out of picks. You're hosed, Mason.
I decided to do a nightmare mock. This is what I think could happen, but I do not want to happen. And so now you get to live the nightmare. And unfortunately, Robert, this is the one.
No, I love this. I
knew
absolutely
we were going to get a trade-off and stick with Fields. I knew we were going to get one. I already prepared for this.
Well, of course. Well, if you think about it, right, Robert, that's the scenario that could go in the most different directions.
Totally could. You could end up.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
So yeah, this is what you guys get to deal with.
Please, what did we get? What did we get in the trade?
I want it. I want it.
I traded. It's funny you mentioned the Giants.
Let's go.
What's his name? Oh, Dexter Lawrence.
So here's the thing. I traded back to the 6th pick with the Giants. I got the 6th this year, the 47th in the 2nd round, their 3rd round pick, their 6th round pick, a future 1st, a future 2nd. I'm assuming I'm also going to get a future 2026 because do that in PFF simulator.
Exactly.
All that jazz. And also, I don't know, throw in Dexter Lawrence. I don't care. I got players.
Hey, so basically,
yeah, I don't really care. In this scenario, the reason this might happen, because I do have to highlight this a little bit, is, you know, maybe on the top 30 visit, Caleb comes in and there's something funky. Poles just has that feeling. It's Sonny Weaver in draft day where he's, you know, calling up everyone and no one went to Caleb's birthday party.
Or maybe it was always like that.
This world exists.
He also doesn't like Drake. And he also really likes the progress he's seeing from Justin. Like you say, it's a lot of things.
There's a lot of layers into why this would happen. And he just is so blown away with all of the things he'd get, not just by moving one spot, but multiple spots backwards. So in this alternate universe, this is what I did. Just strap in for what I'm doing later. Kyrie, you only moved down that one spot and you took this man.
By the way, I do have a feeling that, you know, after that pro day visit, we might see a little bit of a bidding war go on behind the scenes. I would be very curious to see if that yields anything. But yes, in this situation, I did not keep Justin Fields. I drafted Jaden Daniels. And the reason being, honestly, it feels more like a Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, I like the cut of your jib sort of player. He's an older guy. He's experienced. He's actually probably not as old as you think he is. It seems like he's been playing college football for like 7 years. He's really only just 23 years old. So still a lot of football ahead of him. Honestly, in watching his tape, and I understand obviously the critiques about not throwing the football over the middle enough. I've seen a number of people say that the offense just didn't ask him to do that a whole lot, but he probably can do it if you ask him to do it more. And I understand the reason people are hesitant about that, given what we've seen the last 2 years with Justin Fields not throwing the ball over the middle very much. It's honestly, like, not to get too off on a tangent, but one thing that I did see was that Jaden Daniels threw the ball over the middle less from a percentage standpoint than any college quarterback in the last like 10 years or whatever, except for Justin Fields, right? Though it was interesting to see Justin Fields threw the ball over the middle a ton as a rookie, and then that slowly dissipated. So maybe you could look at it and say, if you get Jaden Daniels in the right place, in the right system that has answers that you feel better about, that you start to see this stuff more. And you can find those throws on Jaden Daniels' tape. You can find him throwing the backside dig, right? It's not like it never happens. So I think that it's possible there. He doesn't have the raw, oh my God, arm strength, but I do feel like his feel for throwing the football is better than you would expect from other people, you know, the kind of evaluations about it. And he doesn't necessarily have that, like, wow, Caleb Williams or Drake May, where they're chucking it off balance 50 yards on a clothesline. But his deep ball is adequate enough. I think that he has enough velocity to get it wherever he needs to go. I feel like he actually has a decent feel for modulating his throws, and he has a lot of different clubs in the bag. And he's not Lamar Jackson in terms of speed. He's not Justin Fields in terms of speed. But the slippery elusiveness, it reminds me of a Lamar Jackson, or people threw Randall Cunningham out there as a comp for him. I also just think the experience that he's coming in with, and I everything I've heard about him is that he has interviewed well and is going to interview well. I could see him going into a room with Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and winning them over immediately. So that's part of the impetus for me doing that. And look, I think Drake May, you could say he definitely has way more arm, more upside. He's younger. You can tap into more of that. I just think Jaden Daniels is more ready to go right now.
And hey, Kari, just to throw some stuff out there, because like Jaden Daniels is an electric runner. I mean, it sounds a lot very similar to somebody who's very close to home in Chicago. And I get that, right? But the part about Justin's development that I think is going to be, it's going to end up being written about a lot. And they're going to, I think, unfairly skew Justin's development as, well, this is always who Justin was going to be. He had these same issues coming out of college. These are apparently unresolvable issues, because we watched this happen with Fields. And look, yeah. I'm pretty critical of Fields on my YouTube channel. And you can go review any or watch any of the game reviews. And I'm going to own to all of that. But Mason, we've talked about this offline. Matt Nagy looked like he was making progress with Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. It sure seems as if that quarterback development process derailed a little bit when Justin Fields landed.
Low key, the play calling, a lot to be desired, but as a quarterback coach, coaching him to play the position, it's clear that Matt Nagy and John DeFilippo together were the right best coaches that he has had at the NFL level. It is. Yeah, I mean, we could do this another time, but.
And I can't say for sure that Justin Fields would have been a Pro Bowler, that he would have been, I don't know, above average, that he would have been average. I don't know. We don't know, because that's just not the life that we're living, right? Yeah. But it's more to say that, in my opinion, what you'd hope for with Jaden Daniels is that Cliff Kingsbury, who has historically found himself, like, you see Cliff Kingsbury's name attached to a lot of very good quarterbacks. That guy has an eye for this position. And if Cliff Kingsbury is a loud voice in getting Jaden Daniels, who's to say you can't bring him along? It freaks me out that Jaden clearly considers his own running the ball as part of his kit. This is very similar to Justin Fields coming out of school, who, look, I have a stat that I could show if you wanted me to show it. You don't need to see it. But the point is that Drake May, Justin Fields, and Jaden Daniels, respectively, have some of the highest clean pocket scramble rates in college football over the course of their career, with Drake May coming in at 7%, with Justin Fields coming in at 8%, and Jaden Daniels coming in at a leading 9.4%. So Jaden obviously considers, I should run the ball, as part of his kit, whereas in the NFL, I do think that gets you beat up pretty badly. By the way, Caleb's number in that was a 3% mark that was only just about a half percentage ahead of CJ Stroud. Not that we need to make the comparison, but it's more to say, Kyrie, I like Jaden Daniels. I think it's my supposed archetype of person that's supposed to not like Jaden Daniels. He just has a lot of flags that have to get ironed out by somebody, and I hope he's able to iron them out without getting the snot beat out of him while he tries to run through people that are 20 pounds heavier than him.
He's out there offering up his body to the Lord when he's seriously running. You cannot be acting like that.
Vicious. They're vicious, and he's not Josh Allen.
Yeah, see,
like, even Josh freaks me out.
Oh yeah, okay. Low key, Josh Allen's an idiot. Like, and honestly, I feel like Drake May kind of has that idiot in him too. That'll be acting like that. That's the funny thing about Justin Fields is that, like, by and large, he doesn't really take those kinds of hits that often, because he's learned to run out of bounds, get down. I think that's the thing that we need to consider with some of these quarterbacks. This is the last thing I'll say before I hop off this, because I don't want to spend too long on it. But I was looking at it today. Justin Fields, for all the obviously like bottom tier passing that we've seen, is a perfectly average quarterback despite all of that in terms of total yards per game and total touchdowns he averages per game, because his legs are a useful piece of his kit. You can have success and can be a productive quarterback playing like that. Now, you still need to do it with the arm. So if Jaden Daniels is able to iron out that, not iron it out, but really take that part of his game to the next level, that's where you see the upside come in.
And I do want to highlight, so there's a comment here, Rydori 17, Jaden Daniels is light years less talented than Caleb. Yes, I mean, there's a reason why Robert took him in this scenario. No one's arguing. I don't think Kyrie, myself, are arguing that he's not. Very little people are. I don't go out in the Twitterverse or by any scouts or anyone that I respect knowledge-wise on this. Pretty much everyone has Caleb at number one. If you're not taking Caleb at number one, if you were the Bears, it has nothing to do with on the field stuff besides maybe the turnovers and the fumbles and some of the time to throw thing. It's the person if you have question marks there. I just want to make sure that's abundantly clear. It's not the other stuff. So, right. So you'd think that, oh, look, Robert had a trade. He moved from number 9 downwards to number 13 and then moved again from 13 down to 17. What were your thoughts on that? Oh, Robert, you're muted, I think.
Oh, no.
Thank you. No, no worries. So, first of all, I should make it clear. I am hardcore receiver pilled. Hardcore receiver pilled. And I want one of these top three receivers. PFF's board did not give me one of them. And they got taken at number 8, even though I don't think one would have fallen. Even if they had, I would have made these trades. Because I also tried to keep this mock as realistic as possible. And guys, we can say what we want about how much we love this these receivers. We're talking about an offensive lineman that's now our GM and a linebackers coach, coaching head coach for the Bears. That's not a bad thing. But if you're telling me that these guys aren't thinking rookie quarterback, we're going to play defense and we're going to run the ball and that's how we're going to support him, then I think you're nuts. So I thought that they went from 9 to 13 because the Raiders were offering me something to come up for J.J. McCarthy. And then they went from 13 down to 17. I have no idea what position the Jaguars were coming up for, but I didn't want to trade down too far because I still wanted to give myself a shot at a receiver as I fell down the board. But do you get to show my pick at 17 in this, or do I need to hide that?
Oh, no, you got to hide. Hold that for a sec.
Cool. Then I wanted to add picks because it's the same exact rationale that led you, Mason, and you, Kyrie, to trade down. The Bears are way too short on a lot of these picks. So I really tried to focus on trades that gave me an accept on the first try, because I was like, if I have to offer it 5 times and get a 20% chance trade, then I'm just cheating the simulator. But I had to work my way down to add some thirds so that I could stock the team with depth and basically get a draft back so that I could try to add some talent to the team after one.
And someone would think it'd be my turn, but it's not, because Kyrie came up from 9 to 6.
Get it! Get it!
Explain your thoughts here.
Now here's the problem is now that the Giants, they were the ones who signed Drew Lock, so now my scenario got blown, my spot got blown up a little bit because the Giants now have a backup quarterback. But you know what? Swap it out for the Chargers. I don't care.
Yeah, all right? Whoever.
I wanted whatever. To come up and get me a wide receiver. Let's go.
So Kyrie, explain that pick at number 6.
Because a couple of reasons. Number one, we want wide receivers, right? We want to support our young quarterback. The other thing is, you look at the last couple of drafts, even going back, I think 2021 was a good example of this. With Tua Tagovailoa, Joe Burrow, and Jalen Hurts, they all got receivers that they played with in college that helped them become stars. Joe Burrow got Ja'Marr Chase. Okay, Tua Tagovailoa got Jalen Waddle. I was over here trying to remember which Alabama receiver went where. And then obviously Jalen Hurts got, oh my goodness, which Devontae is it? Oh, Devontae Smith. Yeah, I was having a hard time there. So why not go ahead and get Jaden Daniels, his guy, and Malik Nabers? And that is chemistry you ready made. There you go.
It's a smart pick. I know I previewed him in a different pod. I think it was when I took Drake May and like the one a couple ago. I mean, it's after Marvin Harrison Jr. is kind of pick your poison or your sweets, depending on how you want to put it, between Malik and Aroma Dunze. And if you're going to take Jaden, why would you not pair him with someone that he knows?
It's worked out for the other guys.
Neighbor slaps. Slaps.
I finally get to go.
Oh my God. That's right. This is your first here, pick?
I'm sitting here at pick six. And again, nightmare draft, but what could happen? What would make sense in this scenario besides bolstering the defense?
Of course.
And I want to put this out there. I love Byron Murphy. I do. If there was a different scenario where like you had your quarterback set, you had your wide receiver set, whatever, Byron Murphy would be a great pick for the Bears because they need a three tech and he's a good three tech. But in this scenario, you need other stuff. So Byron Murphy, 6 foot and half an inch.
This is the I Hate Bears fans draft.
297 pounds. He ran a 4.8740, and importantly, a 1.6910-yard split. So the reason I do like him, this man is a globe made of muscle, explosive as hell with tools and talent to become a productive three-down defender in the right scheme, and his first step is awesome. No major injuries. Elite combination of strength, balance, and flexible power in that lower half. Super twitchy first step. Can flex with power, gap shoot, or pass rush. Combines power and technique well along with sudden hands and quick feet. A lot of pass rush moves with plenty of counters. Has shown a nice swing move to escape defeat blocks, flash decent push, pull, and club moves, for example. He has a sharp football IQ, quickly diagnosing plays and adjusting his approach to disrupt offensive schemes. Highly instinctive, and his motor is one that would make Flus orgasm. Plays with an intention to hurt you. He is violent. And AFC area scout said, I know people love talking about Tavondre Sweat, but Murphy's the guy who will be the better pro. If he was bigger, he would be talked about as much as any defensive tackle. Now, the problem with Murphy is he can take on double teams, but, I mean, you don't really want him doing it. He is smaller at that 6 foot, just under 300. Lack of arm length, so he's harder to separate. Has a habit of diving at feet when tackling the backfield, and production is lacking. I mean, he only had 5 sacks and 8.5 tackles for loss last year, and you're really betting on his ascension. Now, my comp for him, Ed Oliver, Larry Ogunjobi, pre-injury, and schematically, three tech and even fronts. Quentin at Buck of Stats did a great breakdown on him that I'm going to link in the chat, but also tweet out. So if you want to go check that out at West Sports PT. Again, my problem isn't him. Love him. You don't want him over receiver, quarterback, some of these things that you just absolutely need out of this draft. And, you know, if it was another year, another scenario, he'd be a great pick. But in this nightmare scenario, he just is not.
Look, Mason, here's what I think is so funny about this. Again, I'm going to be that guy who's going to say, if you're football pilled hard enough, you got to recognize that a sweet three tech, and I swear, Mason, if you draft an edge rusher, you're only going to make this point even more aggressively. Matt Eberflus is not about to, I mean, Kyrie, come on, we know this, right? Matt Eberflus is well aware, especially if you're not taking a rookie at number one, you got to produce this year. So why would you hire Shane Waldron and then give him all the keys to go produce? You coach the defense. You call the defense. If you're going to go out, you're going to go out in your own damn shield, right? And this is how you do that to me, Mason. It's like, well, we got you all these future picks, but now we got to finish our defense. We got to get a baller on the defensive line. Maybe another one. Like, I'm not about to say that I would love this. I think I would probably be tearing my hair out at this point. But if you were sticking with Justin Fields and trading off of number one and you weren't taking a rookie quarterback, then yeah, this is something I actually think makes a lot of sense.
Dominate defense, run the football, you know,
back in the playoffs.
Look, honestly, look, here's the thing. You know, I just want to put it to all y'all Bears fans and you know, me in here. No matter what the Bears do, just laugh. Just laugh about it. You know, let the chaos flow through you. Don't get mad. what's the point of getting mad about any of it? Have fun with it.
Oh, I get to go again. I forgot I ordered it this way.
Hey.
So staying at pick 9, didn't trade back. You got, you know, your three tech. You passed on. Click. Caleb already went. Drake May already went. Jaden Daniels already went.
I know what's about to happen.
I mean, you go AJ McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan. You know, you start this conversation with one word. He's a winner. right? I mean, he's, and it's not even like, I'm joking, but seriously, he's won at all levels, high school, college, won a national championship. You know, 6'2", 219 pounds, he's on the smaller side, but hometown guy, grew up in LaGrange Park. I've actually gotten to speak with him a couple times or worked with him. He's a great kid, trained at the next level quarterback training with Greg Holcomb. And a lot of the JJ hype comes from the person and personality. Like, you heard that coming out of Combine. I mean, he lit up every room he walked into. He's the, you know, you talk about, why am I blanking on a stupid name? Who's his old coach in Michigan? Oh my God. Harbaugh, Jesus. Harbaugh, like, called him his son, basically, that, you know, from another mother kind of thing. And both of those things are things that Poles might love. The person, right? He said that when he talked about what he wants in the quarterback situation. You know, he plays with a chip on his shoulder and intensifies focus when he needs it. He's fairly poised in the pocket, average as a pocket passer, adequate ability to locate throwing windows. You're hearing a lot of adequates in this hype right now. McCarthy doesn't seek to play out of structure, but it's fairly consistent at making positive plays when it happens. One of the draft's most efficient quarterbacks operating out of structure, confident and seems to have ability to take slights and digest it as competitive fuel. Pretty damn athletic guy, actually, who can run the ball when you need to. And there's a lot of room for improvement. He really hasn't reached his full potential. And con-wise, small frame, as I already mentioned, the combine didn't help him. There were some throws. It's like, who are you throwing to on this? His ball placement and timing need to improve to help mitigate his average operation time through his windup release. He's sluggish getting through progressions and gets stuck on a first read and leaves throws behind moving targets. His deep balls are slow and you don't get a lot of air under him. But in this scenario, in this world that could happen, you're splitting the difference here. Because in this scenario, you notice I haven't traded Justin Fields. So in this scenario, you're keeping Justin, you're playing him for the year, you have JJ sit for the year, you get to hear all this bluster where the Bear fans are divided, you get to hear it all year long, where the pro-Justin people are saying, all right, now we got weapons, we're going to be able to surround him with all this stuff. You have the anti-Justin or even the pro quarterback, like, you know, play JJ, he's the next guy. But at the same time, you didn't get some of that top of your talent on offense. You missed on the receivers on the top three, you didn't trade back to get too many other assets. I mean, I got some. It's kind of, this is the nightmare. This is the life that I personally do not want.
No, don't do it. Please don't do it.
But yeah, that's it.
Kyrie, what would you think if they did this one?
I think it's honestly, I'm not even going to lie. I think it's possible. I don't think that they will do it, but I mean, look, because again, JJ is one of these guys that I could absolutely see him just having the interview room just like by the throat, you know, with that good old, those good old Midwestern values and, not aw shucks and not like Mitchell Trubisky, but that clear, like, you know, yeah, like if you count on me, I'll work my butt off every single day and I won't rest until I win a Super Bowl. I'll be like, I feel like they're probably going to like JJ McCarthy. I feel like it's highly unlikely that they would select him in the top 10. I think they would be happy to let somebody else do that. I think we've seen this with Ryan Poles and the crew, is that like, yeah, it might like a player a lot, but not in the first round or the second round kind of thing. Like, we like them, but later. I feel like JJ McCarthy's a guy that's like, we like him, but later.
I think so too. I mean, look. The biggest problem I have with picking JJ, like you're saying, Mason, it's a nightmare draft because it could happen. The biggest problem I have is because this is the only quarterback I've ever written about when it comes to watching the Bears. Usually the second to third to fourth best quarterback in the draft, usually the guy taken around this area where everybody cites, well, Josh Allen was taken eighth. Patrick Mahomes was taken 10th. He was taken 9th. What do you mean he's bad? What do you mean he's raw? What do you mean there's all this to go off of? And he would immediately send the fan base into a, do you want to play Fields? Do you want to start JJ immediately?
Oh my God. I mean, the Bears fans would just fall in love with JJ McCarthy so fast. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Suddenly all the people that are right now all the way behind Justin would be like, what? Where did this McCarthy wave come from? Because everybody would be at the first loss of the season. Bang. They would slam their hands down and they'd say, you got to play JJ. You got to put JJ in. And it's like, I can imagine what it would be like to cover this team. And it sounds like hell, but at least they'd have a bunch of future capital. So you got that going for you.
Oh, you guys just wait. It keeps going.
Okay. Look, we have not made it out of the first round. We got to rapid fire this, buddy.
So
y'all, you were the one that decided to do a whole monologue in like the first 30 minutes. Don't even come at me about that. Robert, you're on pick 17. Yep. And we traded back twice.
And we picked Jared Verse because like I said to Kyrie and like I said to you, Mason, I tried to keep this mock realistic. And I think that Matt Eberflus, given the lack of a free agency move that we've got right now, would look at Edge and he'd say, what are you talking about? We signed Josh Reynolds and we have Tyler Scott. The rookie's got enough receivers. I don't have an Edge. Get me one. And so they'd take Jared Verse, who's going to be a solid edge too, pretty much right out of the gate. Dallas Turner was already gone. And I think Latu was the only one on the board. And I think Latu's sweet. I just don't think he fits what Flus wants in a defensive end. And yeah. I like Verse plenty. I really do. And if the Bears did have what's the guy's name from Clemson last year? I ended up getting drafted by the Bengals. If you remember who I'm talking about, fill it in. But having yes, it was Miles Murphy. Having a dog at edge on your other edge that can come along as a pass rusher and as a high motor guy that can play with power, push the pocket, defend the run well, three down defensive end that then you can rotate other guys through. You know what? For Flus's defense, this would do a lot. The Bears were able to constrict any offense that they had the defensive line advantage over. That just wasn't a whole lot of offenses at the first part of the year. And once they added Montez Sweat, they smashed a couple of them. You add a little bit of extra juice, and Matt Eberflus gets what he wants. Don't worry, Bears fans. I do get us back some offense later, but we got to get there.
Cool. You know what? I think if the Bears trade down from number one and they maintain those two picks in the top 10, I think receiver goes first, and then Jared versus your pick at number 9. That's what I think happens.
Kyrie's up. Round 2 in the second round. Pick 36. Big man.
A big athletic tackle who is a ras beast. Kingsley's got, 30? It's interesting because the scouting report's like, his arm length could be an issue in the NFL. He's got 34-inch arms. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I feel like he fits well in this, and he's somebody that could push Braxton Jones. I feel like an underrated part of this, I don't think it will happen necessarily, but an underrated piece of you know, the Bears offseason discussion is, look, if everybody's on the table and anybody could potentially get traded, it's like, wouldn't you see what you could get for Braxton Jones, a perfectly league average tackle, or you could platoon him, keep him for depth. I mean, look, there are options here, and ultimately what you've got to have, I think, is depth in a continued conveyor belt going on the offensive line and in developing young talent. So to me, this is a win-win for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, you can never have too many big guys, and especially a tackle. Boom, boom. Kyrie, up again, round 2, pick 40, after some of his trades getting more capital.
The beast. Look, I think that we've talked about, and one thing I didn't really do in this draft is edge, spoiler alert. But I think what you would still love is some interior defensive line help. Because, you know, Jervon Dexter Sr. played better as the year went on last year, but he's still kind of learning the position, and I think still tapping into that athleticism. I feel like Chris Jenkins coming in, that could be your 3 technique, and then you're talking about Jervon Dexter moving down to the 1 technique and just absolutely destroying from the straight up interior, while Chris Jenkins is your guy at the 3, and just like two young bulls on the interior that could grow together. And you see how much these defensive tackles are making on the open market now, because everybody realized, oh, this is a passing league, and what do you mean getting interior pressure is dangerous for quarterbacks? I think you want to continue to view that basically as a premium position, especially in this defense. Go ahead and get another guy that could serve you in that role.
Yeah, absolutely. All the reasons we talked about for D-line. Robert, round 2, pick 44.
I picked Keon Coleman because he's a boss. I mean, again, when we talk about the nerd card, I'm not supposed to like a guy who doesn't have as many yards per route run or the separation metrics that guys like Ladd McConkey, et cetera, do. Boy, but when you start to look at all those charts, you start to realize that all of the outside receivers or the X receivers are all lumped into the bottom left corner of almost all of them. Because as it turns out, when you have to go up against outside corners and you don't play from the slot, you don't gain the natural separation that a lot of these other teams do. Look, I could tell you about Keon Coleman's Raz. I could tell you about Keon Coleman's speed in the gauntlet drill. I could tell you about all kinds of things that are different ways to try to justify me saying that boy nice. He's got some of the sweetest hands in the class. He returns punts at 6'3". He's got all kinds of size, blocks like George Pickens when he wants to. I mean, the good way, right? Like the way where he tried to fight people back at Georgia, not the way where at Pittsburgh he just stepped out of the way and let people tackle the runner. So when I look at Keon Coleman, I see a receiver that pairs really well with DJ Moore. I see somebody that can balance out the body types in the receiver room a little bit, and I think is being undervalued by the NFL because he doesn't have the separation ability that somebody like Troy Franklin does, even when I think his game translates to the NFL with things like power slants. You could do things from power or from the slot that other smaller guys can't. Like, the NFL is a tight window league and a contested catch league as much as it is a separation league, and I think Keon fits it really well.
Yeah, I was anti-Keon just initially, and then the combine happened, and I went the opposite that some people went, you know, they saw the 40, but then I saw the gauntlet, and they had, and yes, some guys don't run it at full speed, and if you're not running at full speed, you suck anyway, what are you doing? But, you know, he topped out around 20 miles per hour when doing the gauntlet, when a lot of these guys who ran a faster 40 than him, right, were like 18, 19, and then I think you might be able to talk about this better than I can, Robert. There was some stat that they released where it was like looking at like play speed or something like, I can't remember. I got to find the link to
Next
that.
Next Gen Stats basically released a timed ranking on how fast was everybody when they actually ran their routes. And Keon was second to fourth in the overwhelming majority of those routes because his ability to throttle his speed, his 10-yard split, for instance, in his 40, was in really high company. Keon is a bursty player that just doesn't have that fifth to seventh gear that some of these other guys do. But you really only see that gear on posts and nine routes, right? Most of football is played with your burst. And so Keon's ability to drop his hips while maintaining the fact, Bears fans, this is, if you want me to sell you on Keon, this is the best way I could put it. Keon wants to beat the tar out of you. Keon is one of the most physical receivers that I've watched in a while. And I'm not about to tell you that I'm some draft savant that has like a 50 receiver Rolodex, but guys, normally we see Javon Baker and we go, that guy can play X. Keon Coleman will meet you at the top of your stem. And Kyrie, if you go watch the Clemson game, I think it's Clemson, you'll see him at one point throw a DB 5 yards off him. Pat is stumbling backwards as Keon cuts to the outside naturally and catches the ball. And the DB never gets there. The safety has to come in and make the play because he just jacked him. That kind of physicality, to me, speaks to that Kyle Shanahan, we are more physical than you attitude that I want the Bears to instill, and I think it fits.
Yes, and I mean, I think we just basically have to ask the question, can you play football? Yes. Also, play speed and 40 times speed can sometimes be two entirely different things, and we have seen it the past couple of years. People will look at somebody's 40 time. People looked at, and I'm not saying they're this quite the same level of player, but people looked at Kyle Hamilton's 40 time and were like, well, can't make that guy a top 10 pick. Now he's the best safety in football.
Right.
People looked at Kyren Williams' 40 time and be like, can't draft that guy. Now he's one of the best young running backs in the league.
Look at Jordan Addison in division, right? People were pooping on his.
Hilarious. Continue.
I'm back up. Round two, pick 47 of the Please Don't Do It draft. Darius Robinson, edge out of Missouri. I got to keep stacking the defense here.
Yeah, you got to do this.
No help for Justin or JJ in this fake scenario. And again, there's things to like about the player. I mean, this is the Eberflus edge, 6'5", 285 pounds, 34 and a half inch arms. Decent times, you know, 173, 10-yard split. He's got some pretty powerful hands with twitchiness that allows him to shed blockers easily. Talked about that arm length. It helps maintain leverage, high motor, strong and physical. Good arm over move that he uses as a counter on the bull rush, and he will unlock even more pass rush moves, more polishing and schooling, but he's a damn bull in a china shop. He is so frenetic, lacks control at times, does not play under control, and lacks awareness, has the measurables, but the true athleticism is a question. When you see him move, And as a physical therapist, I need to watch how the quality of people's movements. He is a clunky mover, stiff and robotic, limits the amount of finesse moves he can really do, lacks burst acceleration in a pretty predictable pass rush. It's like, here's one move. Oh, you stopped it. I guess I'm done. He needs to find better angles and entry instead of this predictable charge down the middle. The issue is he's a project. And in round two, I don't necessarily want someone that's that much of a project. I want someone that I can throw out there and feel relatively comfortable with. He's still learning. He's a puppy when it comes to playing this game. You know, he's kind of a Desmond Bryant, if you think of Raiders, Browns, defense tackle, or more recently a Keon White, who the Patriots took their second round pick in 2023. Yeah, the player might end up ultimately being fine. He's got a lot of potential, but when you need so much offensive help, and also you kind of need some people that are going to help you right away, because as of right now, right, you got Montez Sweat, and then you got DeMarcus Walker, who you don't really necessarily want outside only. You need some edge help. Kyrie, round three, pick 70.
Dun, 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 dun. Renardo Green, a guy that I've seen some of my favorite scouts really be talking up a lot. Now, I think that one underrated thing about the Chicago Bears situation right now is they have done a great job, awesome job, with their cornerback situation. I mean, bringing back Jalen Johnson, love it. They've got some talented young players, Tyreek Stevenson. They've got Kyler Gordon playing better football. And they've got Terrell Smith, who can play corner and maybe a little bit of safety as well. But you can never have enough good cornerbacks in this league. And I feel like this is a value pick here for a guy that I think his stock has really been rising. Going back to the Shrine Bowl, I was there and he was one of the more consistent, you know, kind of playmakers out there. He just gave everybody a hard time. So I was really impressed by him down there.
Absolutely. You can never have too many corners. I don't know. I keep saying that for different positions, but you keep hitting positions where you can't have too many of these kinds of guys. My next pick, round three, pick 70. I scooped up Xavier Worthy, wide receiver out of Texas. Now, I want to start this by saying, I don't think he's going to be there. He's going to be a end of round one, beginning of round two guy. And that's kind of the reason why I don't like this, is because he's going to be there because of that 4.21 40 time that he ran, which is fantastic. But that's going to elevate him more than what we've seen on film. He's 5'11", 165. He's paper thin. My comp for him is Darnell Mooney, but faster. And we know Darnell Mooney's kind of injury stuff that he's had. I mean, Worthy will find separation if he can go vertically or across the hashes against man coverage. Deep speed requires additional defensive attention to him, so he creates space and loosens coverage for teammates. And he can break the initial tackle. He's going to create problems on the defense. And is good. He's got great short air explosiveness, twitchy yet controlled, good route running tools, quick feet, loose hips, but you know, he needs to hone those tools a little bit to make it more consistent. And his ball tracking has improved. However, it's way too many drops. Like I talked about, he is small, teeny tiny. I'm worried about him breaking. Lacks play strength. So he's going to be like a slot guy. I don't think he can really get off the line. He needs to improve his efficiency and quickness off the ball. You know, on film, you can literally see him take reps off. It's, if he's not getting the ball, it's just lazy. I don't like it. And too many careless drops, like I talked about, and a poor ability to win the ball in the air. He's got potential to be an average starter, but in this scenario of this thing, right? I mean, I haven't taken a receiver yet. This is the first receiver. And can this be your wide receiver too? No, I don't think so. His stock is going to be elevated because of that 40 time. And now you're just going to be the Oakland Raiders if you're taking him, in my opinion.
To me, Mason, it's so funny talk about Worthy, because again, I'm always going to come at this from the background of, okay, what would it do for the team? Well, it would give them a major speed threat, right? This guy would basically be Tyler Scott, but better, right? And then you look at how would the fans react? Well, the fans would immediately say, they got Tyreek Hill. We're good here. We're good. Now we got DJ Moore and we got Tyreek Hill and we picked him up in the third round. And it just makes me giggle looking at Worthy in particular, because they would take, you know, they would take pick number 70 and he would immediately become SMH. Just wait until Jair Alexander gets dusted by our new rookie.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's a headache I don't want. Robert, you're up. Round three, pick 75. Flex on him.
Yes, you're right. I did pick Austin Booker. I was like, I can't remember what happened. The board did not fall my way. which is fine, right? Because I wanted to take a look at all kinds of options, especially at interior offensive line. But at this point, I didn't have a lot of options I liked because I was considering double dipping at receiver. You could also look at the tight end market at this point. But Austin Booker is the best player available at this point. Plus, you add a little bit more juice or at least some youth to an edge room that you can never have too many solid players at. Third round edges pop more often than you realize, whether that's Yannick Ngakoue or Danielle Hunter or plenty of other edges around the NFL. A third rounder is a really nice place to take a shot at it. And Booker was good enough to meet my bar when I was pretty disappointed with the pick, and I didn't really want to bother with trading it down again. If I can be really honest with you,
if this was real and you were like, yes, pick, you do it. But like for a mock draft, like, come on, just give me a player.
Exactly.
All right, Kyrie and I picked the same person at the same pick.
Of course we did.
Yeah, brain meld. Christian Mahogany of Boston College guard. Why don't you take it?
So I'm down at the Shrine Bowl. I knew I was going to like him going into the Shrine Bowl. Liked him even more after watching him in person. Strong, violent hands. Very few guys got the better of him. Watching them do the full team drills. I mean, this is, you know, a couple of days of guys running an offense that they're not used to running. So you wouldn't always see a lot of big plays. But the big running plays that there were very often happened running behind that dude. Because, number one, you weren't getting through him once he got his hands on you. And the athleticism to get to the second level and just the little subtle things to open up a hole, I was a big fan of. And hey, Boston College alum, he even acknowledges the fact, like, oh yeah, you know, I know there's a Boston College alum sitting up there at one point, you know, and he didn't see Ryan Poles, but you know Ryan Poles was watching this man and see what he was doing. And I'm sure that he's probably talked to the Bears, I would figure. But I just think he's a really good player at a position that, again, there is a lot of uncertainty at the guard position. I feel like from a health standpoint, when guys are healthy, when Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins are healthy, it's great. And obviously you have Ryan Bates now, but there are questions about what happens after that. Okay. Because Tevin Jenkins is going to need new money potentially. And I don't know if the Bears are going to fork up for him if he keeps on getting hurt and unavailable. Nate Davis is underwhelmed so far, and they're going to be able to get out of that contract if they want to next offseason. So why not have somebody waiting in the wings? And by the way, sorry for jumping in right here. And this is a guy who can learn how to play center too.
He's a stud.
Yeah, don't have a lot to add. I mean, this doesn't necessarily fit my chaos bad because he's going to be a good player if you can get him here. This is good value for him. Boston College, you know, they run 60-40 run pass split. So they do a lot of motion heavy play action based scheme, center and a lot of downhill, multiple run game, duo, power inside. So he's going to be transitioned well to the NFL. He's got the athleticism to show fluidity when he pulls, getting to the second level, ID stuns pretty quickly. And he's got a really nasty finisher. He's got a little of that to him, which is fantastic. The Bears need that. Yeah. Con wise, I mean, he can play two forward and you can see that. And sometimes he gets grabby. I mean, his penalties definitely improved in 2020 at 6, and then 2021 he had 1. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. But you can definitely see him getting tuggy there. And you can definitely see more athletic defensive linemen with a fast first step can get in on him a little bit. So that's a problem for me. But he's an athletic, powerful interior lineman whose combination of strength and technique can really overwhelm defenders. So at some point I couldn't just pick all terrible things, and this, it just fits. It's good.
Well, it's going to be funny to see if the Bears go with this, because obviously the center that they just signed isn't guaranteed to make the roster. No one-year deal really ever is, right? But at the same time, I think this pick made a lot more sense 3 hours ago, right? Sure. Yeah. If only because once you've got a GC at that point, well, now he has to be your OL7, which is good, and we like that. Can't clarify enough. Depth on the offensive line, good thing. But you do have to figure out how to stick him on your roster. And he's not somebody you could cut. Mahogany, you cut him, he's gone. And so obviously you have to find a way to keep him there. I have no idea how you'd fit him in, but I'd love the ad. He's a good player.
Yeah. And that's the thing that we got to keep in mind with these mocks. We did these a couple of days ago before all these positions were filled.
This was one of the worst weeks to do this. It sucked waiting for Monday to happen, Tuesday to happen. It's like, I can't do this mock yet because they're going to sign someone. It's going to ruin the whole damn thing. Robert, round 3, pick 96, Bo Limmer, as I don't know how to say his name, center out of Arkansas.
It's Bo Limmer. He's really sweet. I'm not studying the offensive line as much as I'd like to, but I tapped an offensive line friend of mine and said, okay, what would I take if I was around round three? And he was like, Bo Limmer's my favorite guy. Really athletic, wants to kill you. And I was like, done. And so Bo Limmer is me as Ryan Poles saying, I'm not getting scooped like I did with Ricky Stromberg last year. Scoop him up here. I actually still think this pick makes sense, even in the light of what we have now, because 100%. They didn't sign their most recent center to a 2-year deal, did they? It wasn't a 3-year deal, was it? It's a 1-year deal. And part of me wonders if Ryan Poles would want to sign would want to draft a rookie so that he can play center for a year in a reserve role and then take over starting next year, so you don't marry up a rookie quarterback and center, and you can get that going when Limmer's actually got his feet under him. But we'll get there when we get there. It made a lot of sense to me at the time, and I liked it. Got to add in the trenches eventually.
No, 100%. And that connects to how I started this whole thing of I didn't love the idea, right, of a rookie and a rookie, like you just said, and all these teams now who are just trying to get these veterans in. But there you go. You got it. You got somebody you can bring along and build in the background. Robert, keep it rolling. Round 4, pick 1, yep. 10. A position that the Bears have in spades, Tommy Eichenberg, linebacker, Ohio State.
You cross into day 3, and you start to get into the, well, does the coach like him enough to take him? And Tommy Eichenberg is one of the more instinctive, studly linebackers that you were able to see, and I just didn't think Poles would be, or in particular Eberflus, would be able to resist. There are going to be plenty of people that are going to look at his position and say, what are you doing? But I don't know if Noah Sewell really did enough to solidify things. Maybe he did, but the Bears are going to know a lot more than we are, right, guys? And if they're not stoked about where he's going, then you might want to add somebody like Eichenberg, because last year the Bears got pretty lucky and TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds never missed particularly significant time. You may not get that lucky next year. And the Bears are probably thinking about it, given their defense is very linebacker reliant. So Eichenberg made a lot of sense to me here. He was the best player available on my board that was there. So I took him, and Bears fans would probably complain.
Bears fans will complain about everything. So, you know, it's not a surprise. Kyrie, round 4, pick 1-10. Also, maybe doesn't make the most sense, but again, stuff happens.
Yeah. He's a beast. Yeah. Yeah, and I think, again, having now signed a running back, you know, things are going to get a little bit stocked in that running back room, and he's not the most athletic, or I should not say that. He's not the fastest or whatever in terms of 40 speed, but this guy is a freaking brick house, and he's got better long speed than you think he does. I've watched a lot of Audric Estime, being a graduate of Notre Dame, so I do keep an eye on them from time to time. I mean, he is your just typical, like, workhorse running back. Just give this dude the ball and let him pound it out 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But if you mess up an angle, he can go take it the distance. He can go take it, you know, for a good long while. This ain't Jordan Howard now. He can run away from you a little bit once he gets a full head of steam. And I really respect the way that he goes about it at that size. He can really do it all. You know, and he's not going to be an easy guy to get through in terms of protecting the quarterback. So, look, he's just a guy that I like. What can I say?
Yeah, I don't love the narrative that's been going around so far this offseason during this free agency period, where one of the reasons that these veteran running backs are getting paid is because there aren't good enough running backs in this draft. And it's like, well, no, you don't have the Bijan or the Jahmyr Gibbs, like the top guys, but these rounds 3 and 4 are filled with very useful, workable running backs, depending on what you want in your style. And if you want a three down bruiser that's just going to get you yards, you know, it's the whole Zeke Elliott, you know, can you get me 4 yards? Yeah, I got you, coach. Can you get me 6? I can get you 4. You know, Audric Estime is going to always get you 4 and might break something a little bit here and there. So, I mean, it's a fantastic pick and he's going to be very good. But, you know, as we are very talked about, not as much in hindsight with now DeAndre Swift getting picked. Mine disappeared. It's going to be the coming. Don't worry. Robert Ford, pick 116. Go ahead. mine, for some reason, is out of order, but it's fine. We'll come back to mine. Malik Washington, wide receiver, Virginia.
So it's a copycat league. I think the Bears are easily going to be one of these teams. Kyrie, we agree. He rocks, right? Because you saw him at the Shrine Bowl, right? Was he at the Shrine Bowl?
He was one of the best players there.
It's sweet. He's sweet. But beyond that, when it comes to this copycat league theory, I think that there are going to be a lot more teams than meet the eye. They're going to look at the Packers and they're going to say, shotgun approach to drafting receivers obviously does something. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see the Bears double dip. Do they think that Malik Washington is definitely better than Tyler Scott? That's not really the point, right? It's about adding talented players and letting them duke it out to see which one's going to be the next Wicks. And his name, Dontavian Wicks. Thank you. Who just comes out of nowhere and surprises everybody. Or Samaje Toure. Or whichever other Packers receiver you were impressed with last year that wasn't Jaden Reed. And so Washington fit my board perfectly. He fit that attitude of, I am entering this draft with the intention to double dip. And I took him, and I would be very happy with this one.
I mean, and as we're currently seeing, the Bears are going to need some wide receivers.
Yeah, they are.
All right, we're going the time machine, round 4, pick 110, and pretend this was before Roberts, if you want it to be chronological. But I'm going to stab actually Robert in the heart a little bit with putting this guy on my please don't do it list, Anais Smith, wide receiver, Texas A&M. In the right scenario, good pick. In this current iteration of what's happening, not so much. 5'9", 190 pounds, fifth-year senior, where he played in 12 games, 553 catches for 795 yards, averages 15 yards per catch. That's a lot. 2 touchdowns and a QB rating of 93.7 when you target him. Pretty good, right? 3 things come to mind when you think of him. Versatility, yards after catch, and explosive. Covering this guy sucks. He combines explosiveness and pretty nuanced route running. Good burst as ball carrier. Pedals into high gear. Fluid athlete with explosive burst and speed to stretch the field. I mean, he had a play where he ran by Terrion Arnold on a slot go route, showing some wiggle and short area burst to get on top of Arnold. He's also a great catch and run threat, like I said, yard after catch, creative runner, natural catcher of the ball, and he projects as a day one contributor on special teams with a chance to rank near the top in the NFL return yards early in his career. Cons, fractured leg in 2022. How long-standing effects are there going to be? Longer cornerbacks should be able to press him, so, I mean, pretty much slot only with his size. Poor play strength as a route runner, he can get knocked off the spot. Small frame, short arms, don't make him necessarily a ball winner. And, you know, he's kind of scheme specific, but should he land in the right offense, the ceiling is exciting as a chess piece, electric playmaker. But as you've seen how this offseason has played out and this draft has played out, you know, if the Bears don't sign anyone, you're now going into next year with DJ Moore, Xavier Worthy, Anais Smith, and then Tyler Scott. That's kind of rounding out your receivers. It just wouldn't, that's a teeny tiny.
Forget Bayless Jones.
Bayless Jones, ugh. That's a very teeny tiny explosive yet hard to run offense, especially for someone like Shane Waldron, I think wouldn't really necessarily work. So in the right situation, love this guy, and the one that's been created here, not so much. Kyrie, round 4, pick 2022. We're back on track. Hunter Norzad, center, Penn State.
Well, one of my favorite guys from the Shrine Bowl, again, very athletic, able to get out in space, didn't lose a whole lot in the one-on-one reps and in the team drills that I saw. Obviously, we've now seen that the Bears have signed a center, but if you want development behind him, I feel like you can do a lot worse than Hunter Norzad. I think he was one of the better centers there at the Shrine Bowl, clarifying.
All right. Easy peasy.
And I think that's a common theme here, man, is that like down at the Shrine Bowl, I mean, I'm sure it was kind of same at the Senior Bowl, but the Shrine Bowl isn't usually thought of as like, oh, the top tier prospects. But man, every prospect at the Shrine Bowl, like interior offensive line was like, ooh, I want that guy. Oh, I want that guy. Oh, I like him too. Just all of them were good.
I'm up next. Round 4, pick 122. I have Muhammad Kamara, edge, Colorado State. So this first line is important. 6'1", 248 pounds, and 32-inch arms, so not very long. And also 4.57 40-yard dash, not super fast. But he was productive as hell with meh traits. 45.5 tackles for loss and 30.5 sacks and 5 forced fumbles. I mean, that's a lot of just great numbers. Can create pressure with heavy hands, plays with force and aggression, can split double teams. Can he get around longer tackles? Maybe, maybe not. Can become a little too reliant in that power in his rush approach. We'll need to prove he can stack blocks instead of firm edge. a bit over-aggressive at the point of attack in the run game, and he'll lean too far forward to disrupt his balance and block-shedding effectiveness. He also doesn't fit the Flus archetype in terms of size. It just, he would be funky there. It's a good backup with the potential to develop into a starter. I mean, that's round four. What are you looking for? But at round four, you probably want to take a bigger swing, someone that fits the defense a little better. You kind of, and there's that whole thing, right, that went around where the Bears, like, they value traits and speed and athleticism and size, and he just doesn't fit that mold.
Yeah.
Wrapping up, getting close to the end here.
Talk about Mo Kamara. That dude's got some crazy motor, though.
He does. Motor is wild. That is a Flus thing. I will say that. All right, Robert, round four, pick 122. Who you got?
So I picked Christian Jones, the tackle out of Texas. And like you're talking about, Mason, and also Kyrie, I think you're doing this too. We'll keep the explanations a little shorter as we're hitting the hour and 30-minute mark of the show. But so Jones was my attempt to get ahead of the Borum cut that now PFF Brad is speculating on Bears Twitter, where I thought to myself that, okay, they probably want a swing tackle that isn't Larry Borum. And so I don't know if Christian Jones would immediately become that swing tackle, but the Bears could use some youth. I think we all agree they know what they have in Borum. Jones has feet that are good enough to run the zone blocking scheme that Shane Waldron wants to run. He has the same issue that all the Bears tackles do, in that his anchor could use some work. Everybody except Darnell Wright, I guess you could say. But I think there's tools there that create a player that's easy to like. It's just a matter of how he's going to refine himself.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this guy, so definitely move on. So I believe this should be the last pick. Round six, pick 183. This is probably my pick that I'm saying is not an issue. This is not a nightmare. At some point, this should be done. Torrey Taylor, punter out of Iowa, being drafted by the Bears. It's no secret. Gill sucks. I'm not a big fan of Gill. He doesn't suck. He's just very meh. He's very average. Torrey Taylor is the opposite of that. One can pretty confidently say this Australian-born Taylor will go down in history as one of the best college punters. He's the all-time leader in total punt yards, constantly paired a booming leg with pinpoint accuracy, which helped that Iowa defense set up for great success. His 23-24 average was 48.2 yards per punt, which would already be tied for 12th in the NFL. He had 32 punts downed inside the opponent's 20-yard line in the 14 games this year, and that would be 5th in the NFL in 3 fewer games. He will turn 27 before his rookie season, so a little old, but it's also a punter. He can outkick his coverage sometimes, so, you know, it needs some more hang time. But the highest punter has been since 2010 was at number 110. That was where San Francisco selected Mitch Wisnowski in 2019 fourth round. So honestly, I don't even think he's going to make it to the sixth round. I think someone's going to take him in the fourth or fifth. But if you're, and this is just now going super gritty detail, if you're trying to set up your rookie quarterback, or in particular, let's say we're talking Caleb in Robert's draft, let's say we're talking Jaden in Kyrie's draft, or technically JJ in a year when you put him in my draft, wouldn't it be nice to really pin someone deep and be able to flip the field? Torrey Taylor, get him on the team. I actually love him. I don't know why that came up later. Anyway, we can see it. If you're watching live, you can see on the screen, these are our drafts. I will read them very quickly because we're getting long and it's a lot of air. So I traded back, took Byron Murphy, the second defensive lineman, JJ McCarthy, quarterback, Darius Robinson, edge, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Christian Mahogany, guard, Anaya Smith, wide receiver, Muhammad Kamara, edge, Torrey Taylor, punter. Robert took Caleb Williams at number one, Jared Verse, Keon Coleman, Austin Booker, edge, Bo Limmer, center, Tommy Eichenberg, linebacker, Malik Washington, wide receiver, Christian Jones, tackle, and Kyrie rounded it out with trading back just a titch, getting some nice draft equity there. Jaden Daniels at quarterback at number two, pairing him with his teammate, wide receiver Malik Nabers, Kingsley, not saying that last name, at tackle, Chris Jenkins, defensive lineman, Renardo Green, cornerback, Christian Mahogany, also at guard, Audric Estime, a beast at running back, and Hunter Norzad, center, someone to groom going forward. Overall, they're three very different takes. Obviously, I think we know if we kind of pulled the 1,600 people who were listening, who they take, which draft they take. But kind of, what are your thoughts on these three, Robert, as we wrap up here?
So I think that all of them present all kinds of different options. I think that's the magic of this Bears offseason, is that there are a billion different directions that the Bears could go with this thing, and all of them do make the team better. The only problem I personally think ends up getting created by looking at all the three of these drafts is that Kyrie, let's say that you were dead set on Jaden Daniels, and Mason, let's say that you were dead set on Justin Fields. All three of us view taking that guy as the bird in the hand. Like, the problem here is that it's hard to unite over a quarterback and therefore a team direction that isn't your preferred one. When you hear, okay, they're going to do defense and run the ball, but at least we have the quarterback we like, that's acceptable, right? But so I do think that I can't help but think that what should be a fun party of an offseason is going to end up being a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people. Not because I think that there's anything that's going to be, or like, not because I think any of these drafts are implicitly a bummer. The Bears just have to win with that team before anybody who disagrees is going to come around to it. And so I don't know how ready these Bears are to start just immediately dominating, but I do think they'll start to win a lot of games no matter what direction they go by 2020. I mean, I think they could do it in 2024, let alone 2025. I am excited. I think we should all be excited, but I know that this draft is just going to create some tough pills. There's no way around it, right?
Kyrie, what you thinking?
Let's just see what happens.
So I'm going to put you on the spot, Kyrie. If you had to pick, and really you're picking between two mocks because mine's stupid. If you had to pick between these three mocks, with what came out after draft weekend, this is what occurred, which one would you pick?
You are murdering me right now. I'm trying to get out of here.
No, I gotta ask you.
I think I would do, obviously I'm partial to my own, but I think that I like Robert's mock, because it has a couple of players. Like, I think Jared Verse is definitely a player that I feel like the Bears are really going to like. I think, and look, none of this stuff is an exact signal for anything, but I'm looking at the Bears not really doing anything heavy on the defensive end market and seeing Jared Verse potentially being that number 9 overall pick. It's yelling to me. It really is. And Malik Washington was, again, he's probably like one of my favorite, like my three favorite players that I watched at the Shrine Bowl. So I got to love it. I also love Keon Coleman. I think he's getting crapped on too much. Obviously, though, it's kind of hard to go against the power of Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers. So I feel like a mix, like kind of a mishmash of the way that we did things. I think they all present, you know, some good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. To make mine very fast, I think I would lean towards Roberts. One, I do think Caleb on the field is the best quarterback. If you can get Caleb, Jared versus Keon Coleman as your top three guys, I mean, that's a nice little haul there. But I prefer a Malik Nabers, or in my personal favorite, Roma Dunze. I 1,000% would, but in Roberts' scenario, they weren't there. So I think you made the best with what you had by the draft that he had. And like you said, Malik Washington, super fun. And I like the idea. I don't know anything about him. I got to look into him, but about Bo Limmer, I like having that rookie center with a little investment. But that's all we got. Thanks for tuning in. If you're new to Bare Bones, please come back. We're going to do another mock next week, where again, so our other co-host, Danny, will be on along with myself, and the Windy City Productions crew is going to be here. Then the following week, Brad Spielberger is going to be on. We're going to do another mock, and then we're going to do a live one the week before the draft in like a war roomy kind of thing. But Robert, for those who do not listen or follow you, where can they find your work and your information?
Find my YouTube work at Robert Schmitz NFL. Find my writings at dabearsblog.com and my Twitter at the handle that is written down here, Robert K. Schmitz. And thank you guys so much for having me on. It's always
It was a blast having you on. Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, that's all we got. Everyone, bear the hell down. Hopefully we sign a receiver soon.